Well, tonight we're going to be learning what happens. Remember, we talked about the scapegoat. Wow, where is everyone? I must have scared them yesterday. And so, a couple of nights ago when we talked about the 2300-day prophecy, we talked about the scapegoat. And so tonight we're going to find out exactly what happens to that scapegoat. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bow down with care. David's son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. When hoary time shall pass away and earthly throne and kingdoms fall, and even here refuse to pray on rocks and hills and mountains come. God's love so sure shall still endure all measureless and strong, redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forever saints and angels' song. Could we within the ocean fill, and were the sky of parchment made, were every star on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above, would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forever more endure the saints and angels' song. So, Father, tonight as we embark upon a chapter that nobody has ever studied, we pray, God, that you will bless us and you will guide us and you will speak to us. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen. All right, just making sure that's working. Tonight we're going to be talking about a subject in the book of Revelation. We've taken a break out of the book of Revelation because we talked about some other stuff, And we really haven't dove into the book of Revelation since probably early part of last week. And so what we're going to do tonight is we're going to dive into the book of Revelation yet again, and we're going to study a chapter that most people do not even look at. They just kind of skip over chapter 20 and go right to chapter 21 and 22 of the book of Revelation. The reason why is because Revelation chapter 21, talks to us about the New Jerusalem. It talks about the city of gold. It talks about the streets of gold. It talks about the transparent walls of glass that are actually transparent gold. And it talks about all those beautiful things, but chapter 20 talk about something very, very important for us to understand. One of the things we need to understand, first of all, is kind of what we talked about last night. Last night, for many people, was a very difficult subject, mainly because they have never heard a biblical truth presented in that way. For so many years, we have been told, and for so many centuries, we have been told that when someone dies, they either go up or down or somewhere around. But the reality is, last night we learned, that is not the case. The Bible teaches that when someone dies, they what? They sleep in their graves until the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now that is very, very important, and this is what we found there in the book of John, chapter 11 through 11 verse through 14. We also read 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 55, which said this: O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? And we concluded with this biblical text that said in Revelation chapter 14 verse 13, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, write these things down. Blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they are blessed indeed, for they will what? Rest from their hard work, and their good deeds will follow them. So the Bible tells us really clearly, and we talked about this last night, over 50 times in the entire Bible, death is compared to as sleep. Why? Because the only one that wakes a sleeper up at the end of time is the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, we have to put subjects together. We've talked about the second coming of Jesus Christ, and we talked about what happens when someone dies. What we're going to do tonight is we're going to show you the end of the story. So in other words, once Jesus Christ comes back, and all the righteous are resurrected from their graves, as the Bible says in the book of 1 Thessalonians. And once Jesus comes back, and we see the seven last plagues. Remember when we talked about the seven last plagues? And we talked about the battle of Armageddon, which is a spiritual battle that was going to take place between Christ and the enemy. Remember when we talked about all those plagues that were going to fall? Now we're going to talk about tonight what happens after those plagues. We're going to talk about after the second coming of Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about what happens with Satan. What is God going to do with Satan? How is God going to deal with Satan? What is God going to do with the demons that follow Satan from the very beginning of time? So we're going to dive into Revelation chapter 20, which talks about a subject that scholars had named the millennium. Now the millennium, the word millennium does not appear at all in Scripture. But the word thousand years does, because that's what millennium actually means. It means a thousand years. So we need to understand tonight that this subject of the millennium, based upon Revelation chapter 20, has to do with two resurrections. The millennium is basically subway sandwiched between two resurrections. The Bible tells us here in the book of John chapter 5 verse 28, don't be surprised. Indeed, the time is coming when all the dead in their graves will hear the voice of what? God's Son, and they will what? Rise what? Again. Remember we talked about that if someone dies and they go to heaven, then this scripture is a lie. Because why would they rise again if they're already in heaven? So we found out that that cannot be the case. So the Bible continues on to say, those who have done good will rise to experience what? Eternal life. And those who continue in evil will what? Rise to experience what? Now in the King James Version, this same text says this. It says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. And they that have done good unto the resurrection of what?
Life.
And they that have done evil unto the resurrection of what?
Damnation.
So the millennium in Revelation chapter 20 is sandwiched between two resurrections. According to Jesus, the first resurrection is called the resurrection of life. And according to Jesus, he also says the second resurrection is a resurrection of what? Damnation. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be part of the second resurrection. How about you? I want to be part of the first resurrection, resurrection of life, than to be part of the second resurrection, which is the resurrection of damnation. The Bible says in between these two resurrections is the 1,000 years that is mentioned in Scripture. And so that's where we begin in Revelation chapter 20. So I invite you to grab your swords, and I invite you to grab your 22, your 45 caliber, your big bazooka Bible, whatever Bible you have tonight, and open your Bible to the book of Revelation chapter 20. We're going to start our Bible study tonight based upon Revelation chapter 20. When you guys are there, please say amen. So the Bible says here in verse 5 and 6, you can see it on the screen, this is the first resurrection. The rest of the dead did not come back to life until the 1,000 years had ended. Blessed and holy are those who share in the what? Resurrection. First resurrection. For them, the second death holds no power. Now notice what the Bible says. It said second death. Did you know that you live once and you die once? That is the normal cause of life. It is better to live once and die once than to live once and die twice. Did you catch what I just said? It is better to live once and die once than to live once and die twice. Because the Bible talks about a second death where people who are not written in the book of life will thus experience. And we'll talk about that second death as we continue our Bible study tonight. But notice what it says right here. But they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with who? With who? With Christ for how many years? For 1,000 years. So here's a question that we need to ask tonight. Based upon the millennium and based upon the first and second resurrection and 1,000 years between, what happens in the first resurrection? What takes place in that first resurrection of life? The Bible tells us here in the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 27, for the Son of Man will what? Come with his angels in the glory of his Father and will judge all people according to his deeds. The Bible teaches that the first resurrection, the event that happens on the first resurrection, is the second coming of Jesus Christ. Somebody ought to say amen. Notice what else the Bible says. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says, for since we believe that Jesus died and raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. He continues on to say, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a command and shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God. First, the Christians who have died will what? Raise from their graves. Then the Bible says here in verse 17, then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on earth will be caught up or raptured into the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we shall be with the Lord forever. So the second event that takes place at the first resurrection is a dead in Christ raised from their graves and the living are caught up. Amen? Here's another thing. The Bible tells us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, but let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live for what? And we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. So this, beloved, and the first resurrection is when immortality is given to the children of God. Amen? So in this first resurrection, we find out Jesus Christ is coming back. We find out that the dead in Christ resurrect from the grave. And we find out that everyone that is righteous receives immortality of soul. Now the Bible says here, what about the wicked? What happens to the wicked in their first resurrection? The Bible tells us this, notice. In 2 Thessalonians, the Bible says, they will be what? Punished with eternal destruction, forever separated from the Lord and from His glorious power. What does that mean, Paul? Paul says to us here in chapter 2, verse 8, then the man of lawlessness will be revealed, but the Lord Jesus will kill him with the breath of His mouth and destroy him by the splendor of His coming. When Jesus Christ comes back a second time, the brightness of His coming will be a welcoming joy for the righteous. For those that love Jesus, they are anticipating the second coming of Jesus Christ. But according to Revelation chapter 6, the Bible describes that the wicked have a different response. When Jesus Christ comes back, the wicked are not prepared for Jesus. And with the brightness of His coming, instead of it being a welcoming thing, they are scared to death. And the Bible says they are consumed by the brightness of His coming. They are destroyed. Now the Bible continues on to say, as we continue talking about this first resurrection, the Bible confirms the fact that they will be destroyed. What about the earth? What will happen to this earth? Well, remember when we talked about the seven last plagues, these seven last plagues are the most destructive, most horrible plagues that God will pour out on humanity. So we know that based upon Revelation chapter 15 and 16, there's not going to be much left. So notice this. In the book of Jeremiah chapter 4, Jeremiah describes to us, prophetically speaking, something that has not happened yet, but perfectly describes the condition of this earth when Christ comes back and destroys everything. Notice, I looked at the earth and it was empty and formless. I looked at the heavens and there was no light. I looked at the mountain and hills, and they trembled and shook. I looked at all the people were what?
Gone.
All the birds of the skies had what? Flown away. Notice what he continues to say here in Jeremiah. I looked, and the fertile fields have become wildernesses. The towns lay in ruins, crushed by the Lord's fierce anger. This is what the Lord says. The whole land will be ruined, but I will not what? Destroy it what? Completely. When Christ comes back, this earth will literally be in ruins. The seven last plagues will destroy most of everything. The second coming of Jesus Christ, the brightness of His angel. We're talking about billions upon billions upon billions of angels coming back with Jesus to rescue His children. Everything will be leveled, but Jesus will not destroy everything completely yet. That's very important to understand. Does that make sense so far? Yes or no? Notice, what about Durin? What happens during the 1,000 years? What exactly is going to happen? So we go back to Revelation chapter 20. Hope you still have it there. I never turned you. Never asked you guys to turn away. But the Bible says here in Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 and 2, then I saw an angel coming down from heaven with the key of to the bottomless pit and a chain in his hand. He seized the dragon, that old serpent who is a devil, Satan, and bound him in chains for what? 1,000 years. Now let me tell you something real quick. Now someone once asked me, Pastor, how do you know that this 1,000 years is not prophetic? How do you know it's a literal 1,000 years? Remember the biblical principle we talked about when we talked about prophecy. A day equals a literal year. So when we deal with Bible prophecy, when we see a time period that says 2,300 days, it actually means 2,300 years. But notice in Revelation, it doesn't say 1,000 days. It says 1,000 years. So God meant this to be a real literal time. And the Bible tells us here that in verse 1 of chapter 20, what happens during the millennium is Satan is bound by a chain. Now, Satan is a spiritual being. There is no physical chain that can actually hold this brother down. If that were the case, Christ would have used it a long time ago. So many scholars have asked themselves the question, what did John mean by a chain bound in Satan? And what is interesting is what they come up with. Theologians have come up with this conclusion. And the conclusion is that the chain that Satan is bound by is a chain of circumstance. Chain of what? Circumstance. What is a circumstance? The circumstance is the world is basically in ruins. There are no human beings. The righteous dead are resurrected. The righteous living are caught up with Jesus along with the righteous dead. The wicked dead remain in their graves. The wicked living are destroyed. The Bible says the earth is completely in ruins. So what happens for 1,000 years? Satan is here on this earth with nothing to do. He's got 1,000-year timeout. Amen. He's got 1,000-year vacation where God literally removes from Satan anything that he can tempt and destroy. The Bible tells us here in verse 3, the angel threw him into the bottomless pit where then he shut and locked so Satan could not what? Deceive the nations anymore until what? The 1,000 years were finished. Afterwards, he must be released for a little while. Some people have asked me, Pastor, why did God give him 1,000 years? Why didn't God just destroy Satan at the second coming of Jesus Christ like he destroyed the wicked? This is the reason why. Believe it or not, in our Christian society, there are scholars and there are theologians and there are people teaching and preaching that they feel sorry for Satan. They believe that God was actually unfair with Satan. They believe that God did not give Satan enough time to repent. They believe that Satan, if given an opportunity to change, he would. So what God does is he puts that whole theology to rest and he gives Satan 1,000 years to prove if he would actually change. So the Bible teaches us here in the book of 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. This is what it means. For God did not spare even the angels who sinned. He threw them into what? A gloomy pit of darkness, which is represented there in Revelation chapter 20, where they are being held until what? The day of judgment. God is going to judge, executively judge the wicked. Well, then what happens to the wicked? Well, we just discussed that. The Bible tells us the rest of the dead did not come back to life until the 1,000 years had ended. So we talked about what happens with Satan during the 1,000 years. We talked about what happens with the wicked during the 1,000 years. But what happens to the righteous? What happens when we are caught up in the air to meet Jesus? Where do we go? What takes place? Where does he take us? The Bible tells us here in verse 4 of Revelation chapter 20, then I saw thrones. And the people sitting on them had been given the authority to what? And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony about Jesus and for proclaiming the word of God, that they had not worshipped the beast or his statue, nor accepted his mark, which we're going to be talking about on Friday, or on the forehead or on their hands. They all came to life again, and they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Now, the Bible tells us the righteous that were caught up in the air after the second coming of Jesus Christ are going to be caught up in the air to go to heaven to do a specific work. According to Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, that specific work is we are going to judge. Remember, the whole issue around the great controversy is this. Satan has claimed that God is unfair. Satan has claimed before the whole universe that God is literally a tyrant. Satan has claimed that no one can be faithful to God. Satan has claimed that no one can truly love God. So the whole issue of the great controversy has to deal with God trying to vindicate his holy name. And so when we go to heaven, And the Bible tells us we are given authority to judge. We are given the authority to see everything that God has ever done for the human race so that His name will be vindicated. In other words, He is literally opening Himself completely up to us. There are three questions that are going to be primary in this particular investigation and the particular judgment scene there in heaven with the righteous. The first question that we'll need to find an answer there in the next 1,000 years will be, how did I get there? You know, because we're going to wonder if we get there, praise Jesus. I mean, praise the Lord. But we're going to wonder how we got there, because the last thing we know, we were still struggling, yes or no? We were still asking for the forgiveness of our sins. We were still scared. We were still going through the busyness and the foolishness of this world. And we wonder what happened. The Bible tells us that you're going to answer that during the 1,000 years. The second question that will be answered is, why didn't he or she get there? I could have sworn brother so-and-so was going to be in heaven. I could have sworn that Pastor so-and-so was going to be there. I mean, he preached the Word of God. He represented God. Why is he not here? Why is my wife not here? Why is my grandmother not here? Because I thought my grandmother was a holy woman of God. So God is going to have to answer that question for you. He's just not going to leave you. He's just not going to leave you up in the air. He's going to answer why these individuals are not there. And the third question that will be asked, and the third question that will be answered during 1,000 years is, how did he or she get here? There's going to be people in heaven that you're going to be shocked they're in heaven. The last time you remember, they were smoking a joint. The last time you remember, they were shooting their needle, their veins with heroin and cocaine. The last time you saw them, they were prostituting their bodies. The last time you saw, and then when you see them in heaven, you're going to be like, whoa, how did you get here? And so Jesus is going to take the time to answer that question for you. The Bible tells us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, don't you realize that someday we believers will judge what? And since you are going to judge the world, can't you decide even these little things amongst yourselves? Listen to what Paul says. Don't you realize that we will judge angels? So you should surely be able to resolve ordinary disputes in this life. So Paul concludes this fact. Paul says, don't you know you are going to judge angels? Why angels? We are going to see with the fallen angels that fell away from Christ, we are going to have the ability to see everything that God did to prevent those angels from rebelling against God. Even to this day, there are people that don't really believe that those angels that left heaven and were kicked out of heaven were done so justly. They still believe somehow God must have done it unjustly, unholy. He was mad, he was angry, he was aggravated, and he just gave them the boot. So God is going to give us the ability to look into the lives and the history of those angels and to see exactly why it was that they fell. Now the Bible continues on to say here, so what happens after the 1,000 years? We talked about what happens in the first resurrection, the beginning. We talked about what happens during. So now what happens after the 1,000 years? The Bible tells us here, Enoch, who lived in the 7th generation after Adam, prophesied about these things. He said, listen, the Lord is coming with countless thousands of His holy ones to execute what? On the people of the world. Notice. The executive judgment for the righteous took place in the first resurrection. They received their just reward. But the executive judgment against the wicked is still being held. Notice the Bible says here, He will convict every person of all ungodly things they have done, for all the insults that ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. God still has to deal with the wicked that were destroyed at the second coming of Jesus Christ. God still has to deal with the wicked that did not resurrect at the second coming of Jesus Christ, but remained in their graves. God still has to give them answers. Now I want you to notice something. God doesn't have to give them answers. He's God. But God is going to give the wicked the answers of why they are and were destroyed. And the Bible tells us here that after the 1,000 years, something amazing begins to happen. On that day, his feet will stand on Mount of Olives, east of Jerusalem. This is talking about Jesus. And the Mount of Olives will split apart, making a wide valley running from the east to the west. Half the mountain will move toward the north, and half will move toward the what? So the Mount of Olives, after the 1,000 years, will be completely leveled out. It will be completely flattened out. Why? The Bible tells us here in the book of Revelation chapter 21, verse 2, then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. At the end of the 1,000 years, Jesus Christ, with all the righteous in the heavenly city described in Revelation chapter 21, will come down from heaven back down to this desolate earth. And it will land right there on the Mount of Olives. The Bible then tells us a second resurrection takes place. Remember, the first resurrection was the resurrection of life, and the second resurrection was the resurrection of what? Damnation. Notice what the Bible says here in Revelation chapter 20, 5 and 6. Are you guys there? Revelation chapter 20, verse 5 and 6. The Bible says here in verse 5, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Then the Bible tells us something very interesting in verse 7 and 8. This is the proof that even after 1,000 years, Satan was given an opportunity to change. But after 1,000 years, he does not make a single change. The Bible says this: when the 1,000 years comes to an end, Satan will be let out of his prison. He will go out to deceive the nations called Gog and Magog. In every corner of the earth, he will gather them together for the battle, a mighty army as numberless as the sand along the seashore. Now let's break this biblical text down. Now we know that the second resurrection is a resurrection of damnation. We know it's a resurrection of damnation because of the fact that what resurrects in a second resurrection are all the wicked resurrect from their graves. And the Bible says, as John is writing here about this instance, the Bible says that the wicked are described as Gog and Magog. That Gog and Magog attribute is given to a nation way back in the olden biblical times, where it was such a great multitude of people that they could not be numbered that went against the children of Israel. So as John is writing this, John is seeing this in vision, the only thing he can come up with the amount of wicked that he sees, is he terms it Gog and Magog. And he goes so far as to say, as numberless as the sand along the seashore. Which means there are going to be more wicked, lost individuals than there are saved. This does not have to be the case. This does not have to be your record. This does not have to be your future. You do not have to be part of the wicked in this case. Amen. Now the Bible tells us that as these people are resurrected from their graves, and as Satan gathers them up for what? Battle. Notice what type of battle. The Bible tells us here in verse 9, you're going to have to open up your Bibles. Notice verse 9. The Bible tells us here in verse 9, and they came up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saint about and the beloved city. So the Bible tells us here that Satan sees the resurrection of the wicked. The wicked are resurrected the same way they died. They resurrect from their graves. They're still as wicked as the day that they died. When they resurrect, Satan gathered them for battle. The battle, think about this. The battle was to go against the new Jerusalem that came down from heaven. The Bible tells us here in verse 9 that Satan surrounded the city as Titus surrounded Jerusalem in 70 AD. His whole purpose was to stamp out God himself. Satan has not changed even after 1,000 years. Now, if you look at your Bibles, if you're looking at the King James Version, you'll notice there it says, and compass the camp of the saints about, comma, and the beloved city, semicolon, or colon. Now, what is interesting is this. Then after the colon, it says this, and fire came down from God. Do you guys see that? Yes or no? Now, notice, before fire comes down, God has to tell the wicked the reason why he's destroying them. God is not going to destroy the wicked simply to destroy the wicked. He's got to tell them the reason why. And the Bible tells us here in Revelation chapter 11:12-13 the following. I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it. For those who faced the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead. So here John is seeing a great white throne. Jesus Christ is sitting on that great white throne. And notice what it says there in verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Question, who is dead at this time? The wicked. It can't be the righteous because they've been resurrected and they've been living with Jesus, reigning with Jesus for 1,000 years. So the dead in this verse is referring to the wicked. The Bible says here, small and great stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which was the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Now, many scholars understand, and they've come the agreement that when the Bible says books in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, 12, and 13, it cannot be referring to actual books. Some say it refers to some other thing. Some preachers actually believe that what's going to happen is that Jesus Christ is going to reveal for every single sinner, every single lost person, every single wicked, their whole entire life in a matter of seconds in a panoramic view. Satan himself is going to see everything that God has done to even try to save him before the rebellion in heaven. All the wicked will see everything God had done to reach their heart. The missionary he sent, the evangelistic campaign they attended, the Bible study they rejected, the person that came and knocked on a door, the literature they refused to read, everything that happened in their life, they are going to see right before their eyes in this judgment seat before the white throne. And the Bible says in Corinthians that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. This is the time that that happens. Satan himself will bow before Jesus and recognize that Jesus was righteous. God was holy in what he did and how he handled sin. But then the Bible says there in verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. When God reveals to the wicked everything he had done to save them, when God shows them the reason why all these things are happening. And beloved, you need to understand something. When we come back down to this earth after 1,000 years of reigning with Jesus Christ, and we have been judging for 1,000 years. We need to understand that Revelation chapter 21 describes the new Jerusalem as having big walls of transparent gold. Now we know transparent gold is actually real. Because if you look at a 747, you look at a 747's windshield, it's actually two pieces of massive glass. In between that massive glass is transparent gold. It's a sheet of transparent gold. So if a bird hits the windshield, it cracks and shatters the first windshield, but before it shatters the second one, the sheet of transparent gold catches it. Now you can't tell there's gold between there because it's transparent. So the Bible says in Revelation chapter 21 that this new Jerusalem is going to have transparent walls. So while Jesus Christ is judging the wicked, and while Jesus Christ is showing the wicked the panoramic view of their wickedness and everything God has done, we will be seeing everything happen before our eyes. We will see our loved ones that were not in heaven. We will see our uncle, our brother, our father, our mother, our pastor, our pastorette. We will see all these people that didn't make it to heaven. We will see them right through that glass. And the Bible tells us that after that event, where Jesus Christ reveals to them everything he has done, Satan shakes his head, gets up off of his knees, and gathers his troops to attack the city. I don't know what it's going to be like to see someone I love across that wall. What I do know is the Bible tells me every tear will be wiped away, every pain will be done away with. The person I see across that wall will not be the person I loved when I was on earth. It will be a person completely turned over to Satan. The Bible tells us that once Christ has given them the opportunity to see why they are going to be destroyed, then we go back to verse 9, after the colon, and then it says, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Notice what it says there in verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophets are, and it shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. The Bible tells us, and we don't have time to go into the forever and ever part, but you can ask me afterwards. But notice verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And after all of this is done, and we see the fire come down from heaven, and we see everyone that refused to follow Jesus Christ consumed by the fires that came down from heaven. All of a sudden, the Bible tells us, verse 1 of chapter 21, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. From the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared. And the sea was also gone. As John is finishing Revelation chapter 20, as John is describing the fire that consumes the enemy of souls, As God is cleansing, remember the sanctuary we talked about? The Day of Atonement. God is finishing his Day of Atonement. God is fully cleansing the whole entire universe. He has gotten rid of Satan. He has gotten rid of his demons. He has gotten rid of everyone that followed him. Then all of a sudden, Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 says that Christ will recreate this world before our very eyes. What Adam and Eve experienced in Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, we will re-experience. Amen? So let's recap very quickly what we've learned. We've talked about the millennium. The millennium is 1,000 years based upon Revelation chapter 20. We talked about the fact that the millennium has to do with two resurrections. The first resurrection is the resurrection of what? Life. And the second resurrection, resurrection of what? Damnation. During the first resurrection, Jesus comes back. The righteous dead are raised. Righteous living are caught up. Wicked dead stay in their grave. Wicked living are destroyed. Satan and his angels are chained, and the earth is left desolate. During the 1,000 years, Satan is bound by the chain of circumstance for 1,000 years. The wicked dead are still in their graves. Wicked living are like ashes on the ground, and the righteous are what? Judging. Then during the second resurrection, the resurrection of damnation, Jesus returns with his saints. Jesus touches this earth. The second resurrection takes place. Satan is released, gathers all the wicked to attack the New Jerusalem. The white throne judgment takes place, and Satan and the wicked are destroyed. after all of this is done, then we come to Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, where it says, God makes all things brand spanking new. This is a fast forward biblical description of Revelation chapter 20. This is how God is going to put an end to all sin. We talked about that scapegoat. Remember that scapegoat in the sanctuary? And we talked about that that scapegoat could not represent Jesus Christ. That scapegoat represents Satan. And the reason why it represents Satan is because according to the Old Testament sanctuary, all the sins of the children of Israel, all the sins of the entire encampment of the children of Israel was placed on this goat. And that goat was sent out into the wilderness for the whole purpose of dying there in the wilderness. At the very end, Satan will bear the sins of every single sinner that has chose to follow him. And the fires of heaven, as they consume, they will consume him the longest. You remember the statement of Paul that those who have done little will be punished with few stripes. And those that have done more wickedness will be punished with more major stripes. Satan will be punished with many, many stripes because of all the pain and sadness that he's caused. So tonight, beloved, Jesus Christ wants to secure the fact that before this 1,000-year period begins of Revelation chapter 20, he wants to make sure that you are going to be part of the first resurrection. Jesus Christ wants to make sure that you will have no part to do with the second resurrection. Jesus Christ wants to make sure that your life is a life that will be secured in that first resurrection of life. And it all has to do with a decision tonight. So tonight, if you want to say to Jesus, I want to be part of that first resurrection. I don't want anything to do with the second resurrection, the destruction of the wicked, the destruction of Satan. I want to be part of your resurrection. Just stand to your feet. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can never tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to his erring child, he reconciled and pardoned from to sin. When hoary time shall pass away and earthly throne and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure all measureless and strong, redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong,
It shall forevermore endure. The saints and angels song. Could we within the ocean fill, and were the sky of parchment made, were every star on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song.
Father, we pray tonight that you will help us to understand that every decision we make here on earth will impact the eternity we spend forever. I pray, God, that you will help us to make that decision to be part of that first resurrection, to live lives that glorify and honor thy name. Bless us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.